Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and I want to read two verses. Now, I kind of messed up Lisa just a little bit today, and I had another message planned. We may do that one Wednesday night, but I just felt like that this passage came to my mind. And really, just in reality, all the things that's happening in the world, all the things that is taking place. And sometimes we could be, maybe you're not, maybe you are, but sometimes we might ask the question, why? You know, why is this happening to me, or why is this happening to someone that I care about, and especially when it comes to a believer? And then you see the prosperity of the world. You see the prosperity of things, and you see the wickedness and the evil, and you see all those things. And so I just want you to know that having those thoughts sometimes, you know, although we need to refocus and we need to focus on the Lord, but sometimes when those thoughts might enter our mind, we're not the only ones. And so there's a passage here in Psalm 73 that was actually happening. So let's read verse 27 and 28, and then we'll get on with our message. The Bible says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw nigh to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Tonight's message is a new perspective. And that's what we want to call it, is a new perspective. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for those that are here and those that are viewing. Lord, we do pray for the request of prayer that were mentioned throughout the day and in Sunday school, and of course, in the preaching and in our prayer list, and even those that maybe have special prayer requests on their hearts that maybe is just unspoken, that only you and that individual knows. We pray for them. We pray for the ones that are going to be having surgery and those that are going through difficult times. But Lord, we also pray for those that don't know Christ as our personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll convict hearts, help us to be the witness that you would have us to be. And Lord, we're just thankful, and we love you, and we ask your blessings on this time together. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've probably used this illustration before, but I want to kind of mention it again. Maybe it's new. Maybe it's been so long that you don't remember it. But there were six men that couldn't see, and they made a trip to the zoo. And knowing that they couldn't see, the guide, the zookeeper, had decided to take him to some of the animals that maybe could be descriptive, that they could, it would be safe for them to touch or to feel. And so they stopped, and they came upon an elephant. And the first man grabbed the tail of the elephant and said, this elephant, although he didn't know what it looked like, he said, "This elephant reminds me of what a rope would feel like, slender and intertwined." The second man grabbed the leg, and that individual said, "This reminds me of what a tree would feel like, a tree trunk, because of the size of the leg." The next one touched the side of the elephant, and he said it reminded him of a wall, what a wall would feel like, something hard, something big, something bulky. The next grabbed the elephant's ear, and he said, "This is like a fan or something that's slender, that was flexible." And then the next individual grabbed the trunk and said this elephant reminded him of a snake, long and bent. It would bend. But the last man was pretty confused because he was trying to envision what an elephant would look like, and he was confused with what all the others had said. How could it be so different? How could these men who were blind were feeling the same thing, but yet saw things in a different perspective or felt things in a different perspective? So he was confused, and he desired to find the truth. What does this elephant look like? So he grabbed the tusk, and he explained that the elephant's tusk was like a sharp sword or a sharp point. Now it was time for the zookeeper. The zookeeper, as he listened, was amazed that all these men was touching the same thing, the same animal, but yet they described it as something different. None was able to really describe the complete picture of this elephant. Each one had their own idea. Each one had their own perspective. Each one had their own touch, but yet they couldn't describe this elephant in its entirety. So the zookeeper took all of them and what they had described and put it all together and tried to describe the elephant. You know, so many times in our life as a Christian, it's easy to look at things and it's easy to view things and only have one perspective. We may see something happening and we immediately go to this perspective of what we're seeing or what we're thinking, and we're really not seeing the whole picture. We're really not seeing the complete perspective or the complete understanding of what the situation truly is. There's a song that we sing on occasion, and it's an old song that goes as the title, Farther Along. Farther along we'll understand it, all by and by. In the last few words of the chorus, the writer says, cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. There's going to be so many things in life that we simply don't understand. We're going to view things with a certain perspective, and we're going to think, well, it happened because of this. And sometimes I've heard people say, when a tragedy takes place or when something takes place, I've heard people say, well, this happened because. Or they'll say something like, well, if this person would have been living for the Lord, this wouldn't have happened. And I grew up, or in my younger years, believe it or not, I heard more comments like that than anything else. Almost like sometimes we have to be careful because we're really not an authority as to why certain things happen and why they happen this way or why they happened that way. The psalmist in this Psalm 73, began by saying, truly God is good to Israel. And he makes mention that in verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He could give a testimony of God's goodness. He could give a testimony of who God is. He could give a testimony of seeing God work and how that he saw God work through Israel. But yet there was still something that was troubling him. Asaph was the was appointed by David to lead the people in celebration and song when David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And you can see that in 1 Chronicles 16, that chapter 1 through 36. And we know that he was faithful. He was obedient. He was doing what he was instructed. He was living right, if you will. He was conducting the order that was assigned to him. But there was a time in his life that he struggled. And there was a time in his life that there was things that just didn't make sense. He looked out and he saw the wicked. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw things that was taking place. And he understood that a lot was happening. It almost seemed like, as he looked out, much like the blind man touching the elephant, it almost seemed like that the wicked were the ones that were prospering. It almost seemed like that they were far better off than the ones that were following the Lord. And that's what it seemed. We see this in verses 12 and 13. It says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." Goes on to say in verse 13, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." In other words, he was struggling. He was struggling with the things that was taking place in life. He was struggling as he looked out and he saw the things that was happening. You know, it's amazing to me when you see tragedy take place like that was taking place there in Texas, how that some people just twist it all around and they're more concerned about other things than the ones that are suffering. And it almost like they are, you know, blames and all these kind of things. When in reality, there are people that are hurting. And it doesn't matter where they're from, and it doesn't matter whether they're rich or whether they're poor or anything like that. There are people that are suffering and they need comforting. They need help. But yet, we look out and we see the prosperity. And it's easy for us as believers, especially when we're struggling in life, when we see these and we see the prosperity and we see almost like it seems like all the good things are happening to those that are living wicked. And so this writer here was struggling with that. He was struggling. But there was a turning point. And I thank God for the turning points in our lives. I thank God for when we have those ideas that come to our mind occasionally. I'm glad that there can be a turning point in a life. And the turning point was when he got close to God. That was the turning point. Verses 16 and 17 says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end." You see, that's the reason we've called this message tonight "A New Perspective." A new perspective. Because it's easy to get into a rut of why is this happening. It's easy for us to get into a rut of almost like, in a sense, if I could call it a little self-pity. But we need to understand the new perspective. And not just touch one part of the elephant, but try to touch the whole thing. And that's hard when we don't see the whole picture. That's hard when we can't see. But we know one that can see. We know one that has the whole picture, that has the whole understanding. And we also know the one who's willing to give that grace. He was on slippery ground. The psalmist was on slippery ground. It bothered him to see the prosperity. We see in verse 3, it says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." So he was headed down a very slippery slope because he was troubled about what he thought he saw. The idea of the sinner, verse 4. "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." The idea of the sinner, it seemed like they had peace at their death. It seemed like that there was peace for their loved ones. I know that you've heard this just like I've heard this, but it troubles me when someone is suffering and they finally pass. It troubles me, especially it troubles me a great deal when you know the individual most likely was lost, that I hear someone say, "Well, they're better off. They're not suffering." But in reality, they are. If they don't know Christ, they didn't know suffering like they know it now. And so the thought and the ideas and the misconception that was taking place in verse 4, it says, "For there are no bands in their death, for their strength is firm." It's like they have a misconception of the truth. They have a misconception of reality of, and I'll say it tonight and I'll always say it, there's only one of two places that a person's going to go. It's either heaven or hell. There's not a middle ground. There's not a, you know, contrary to what, let's just put it this way. It really doesn't matter what man teaches. What matters is what the Bible says. And so, but man's ideas are, as long as you believe something, you're going to be okay. As long as you have a thought or a belief, or, you know, you could think about all these things, but in reality, what matters is whether you know Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have. It doesn't matter how much pain you've suffered in this life. It doesn't matter what ailments you might have. It doesn't matter for anything. What matters is whether you know Jesus Christ. That's what matters. But even the sinner has a time of full pleasure. Good times living in sin, but yet it's short-lived because sin catches up. Sin catches up. In reality, the end is destruction. Verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." The pride of the sinner seems like, based on what the psalmist is saying and the eyes that he was looking through at the time, it was almost like they have everything. And it was almost like, in reality, they have everything, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And in the sinner's progress, verse 13 says, "Verily I have cleansed my heart into vain and washed my hands in innocency." It's almost like the psalmist And we have to be careful. It's almost like the psalmist was on the verge of becoming very bitter. Did you know that even believers, even Christians, can get bitter with life? They can get bitter with life. They can get bitter with the things that's happening around them. They can get bitter with watching all the things and how this person has it better than me and all these things that come to the mind. It's easy, and it can be easy for a person to carry a lot of bitterness in their lives. The problem with that kind of thinking and the problem with that idea, thinking that a Christian can't view life, maybe I should just put it this way, we can't view life in a human's perspective's eyes. We have to view life a little differently. We can't view life as in the natural thinking. Like, how does it affect me? And what problem will I have to face now? Sometimes we think of the thoughts, what's next? What's next? You get through one problem, you say, well, what's next? Almost like you're expecting something. Questions like, when will I ever find any kind of relief? And who cares about me? It's easy to fall into those ideas, and it's easy to fall into that thought process, because in reality, we as believers sometimes carry very heavy weights. And I don't think sometimes we put in perspective the weights that we all carry. The troubles, the heavy hearts. You know, I think of one great preacher, Charles Spurgeon. From what I understand and from what I've read, he delivered some tremendous messages, but he dealt with a lot of depression. And he dealt with some heavy hearts. And you're thinking to yourself, well, how can someone that godly, or how can someone that tremendous in his ministry, how can they? Because they should be right on target. You know, we everyone carry heavy weights. We everyone carry these things that trouble us. Let me give you three things tonight quickly. Some might say God doesn't care. God doesn't care what I go through, and I want to prove to you that He does. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you believe the Word of God, if you believe the Bible, then we must take it literally and understand that God cares for you. God cares what you're dealing with. God cares that others are prospering. God cares that it seems like that the prosperity as we see it is different than as the world sees it. Someone might say, well, God doesn't hear. God doesn't hear. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If He wasn't hearing, He wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be there. Another verse of Scripture that I think of, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest. Contrary to what sometimes we might be guilty of thinking, just like the psalmist here, God does care. And God does hear. And God is with you. You see, that's the hope that we have. The world can't say that in the same light as a believer. The psalmist, in reality, was like the blind man touching the elephant, and he can only feel parts, but he didn't see the whole thing. And in reality, the zookeeper never could fully get them to understand what the elephant looked like. And there's going to be some things in life that we don't truly get the understanding of this side of heaven. This side of heaven. But I'm glad and I'm thankful tonight that he didn't stay in that same mindset. We can't stay there. Sometimes we might think it. Sometimes we might carry the burden. Sometimes we might look out and we might say the whys or the what ifs and all those things, but we can't stay there. We must come out of that. And the psalmist did. He came out of that. Verse 21 and 22 says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee." If I can just put it in simple terms, is he got right with the Lord and didn't allow the world and the prosperity of those that were around him overshadow the truth, overshadow what was taking place. And I think it's important for us to realize tonight that it was when he went in the sanctuary of God that God opened up his eyes. And he got the realization of the sinner's future. He got the realization of the sinner's future. Verse 20 says, "As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." We've got to always put in perspective, as a believer, as a one of his children, he's always got our best in mind, because he gave his best. He gave the ultimate best. But verse 28 says, "It was good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare thy works." And that is the key to the new perspective. We sometimes will have those thoughts. We sometimes will have those ideas, but let them pass through. Don't let them stay, because we can become very bitter by life sometimes. Don't let them stay. They're going to pass through because it's that nature that we have, but let them pass on through. As we draw near to God, and that's the key, is drawing near to God. As we look at things in a new perspective, as we draw near to God, put our trust in Him, and start declaring His good works. Start praising Him. Start worshiping Him. Verse 23 says that he had the presence of the Lord. "Nevertheless, I continually with thee, thou hast holden me by my right hand." The presence of God. He had the presence of God. He had the protection of God. Verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. He had the person of God. Verses 24 or 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, he had the person of the Lord. And in verses 27 and 28, he had the perception of God. And I won't read those verses again, but he had the perception of God. You see, he began to see the whole picture. And in reality, what he had was far more than those that seem to be prospering. What we have in the Lord is far more than what we think the world is in the prospering. You see, every day should be in a fresh and a new perspective on life. It's easy to become frustrated. It's easy to become troubled. It's easy to become all these things. But we must not lose perspective of the fact that we can't see the whole picture like God can see. And trust me when I say this, and I think you would agree, God knows far more better of what he's doing than we could ever imagine. He knows what's best. A new perspective. So as we close tonight, and as we start a new week, as we have these thoughts occasionally, let them pass through and realize what we have in the Lord is far more than what this world could ever offer. A new perspective. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for how you open our eyes. You understand us far better than we understand ourselves. Sometimes we're troubled. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we see the world and the hatred and the, you know, there's so many things that we see. But Lord, help us to see you. Help us to be refreshed with your love, because we know you love us. Help us to realize that we have your presence. We have your care. We have everything in Jesus. So Father, as we start our week next week or this coming week, and as we end our evening, may we pray and may we look to you with this new perspective of just this simple reminder that you see the whole picture. Lord, if there's a need that needs to be met tonight, if there's someone that just needs to come and pray, Lord, I pray that they'll come. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?